is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Hello, kids. Welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the teeny Tilo Tom Fitzgerald. I'm here with the low and your Tilo Lorenzo Marquez, my lovely husband.
Hello.
It is a brand new, exciting PSO for us. You may have heard the intro music sounded a little different this week. It's because we are, for the first time, the PSO is independent and fully owned by Tilo. We are no longer on a network. We're doing this ourselves.
Yay.
Which we're really super, super excited about.
And stressed out about it.
True. But when this opportunity presented itself, and by that I mean our network didn't want to, you know, host us anymore, we looked at each other and we were like, you know what? We always do better when it's just the two of us making the product. That has always been the case. That's why we're still independent bloggers 14 years later. Right. Yes?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
stop looking at the levels.
No, I know.
He's recording anyway, using new equipment.
Shut up. Anyway.
So, and that's another thing, like, we're figuring this out. I think, we've tested it enough times, but the audio might not be the same, and we're just trying to figure out the bugs.
Just it will be. Be patient, please.
Yes, if it's not up to par or what you're used to, believe us, we are cleaning it up as we go.
And we'll get there.
We'll get there, but I don't think it'll take us long. Okay, so that's exciting. What else is going on this week? Well, we're all on quarantine and lockdown still. Well, Lorenzo made masks this week.
I know. I was trying to figure out a way to, because, you know, we don't want to buy masks, but we wanted to have a mask anyway. So I went online, watched a bunch of videos on YouTube, and there's a ton of them. And I found one that was very good. And I had fabric, you know, we had some leftover fabric because we made,
throw pillows. And it's novelty fabric of semi-naked men. It is. It's men in speedos.
It's Alexander Henry, and some people might know who he is. He designs all these fabrics, and they're kind of like kitsch and you know, fun, and they're all like firemen and farmers.
It's sort of like if you read the chapter on the pit crew in our book, it's all that. It's basically a cleaned up version of Tom of Finland. None of them are naked. It's not pornographic, but it's just
erotic enough.
They're not even erotic. It's kitschy. It's cute boys in speedos, boys in firemen's outfits, and they're the throw pillows on our bed, actually.
Right. So and we had some leftover.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I was like, you know what? Let me just use that. You can see pictures on Instagram, and we'll post them on our site too. But anyway, it was fun. I'm not a sewer. I'm not like a professional sewer. I can just do a few things like pillows, curtains, and things like that. So I managed to make the mask, and it looks great. I made one with the because I wanted one that you could actually put a filter inside with a podcast.
Why don't we put the link in this week's podcast post so people can see the mask that you made?
Anyway, I think it looks great. It was my first attempt doing it, making it. So, you know, it looks fine for me.
And I will fully admit on the air that I pushed for a couple of days for him to make these masks, not even caring whether or not they were going to protect us or whether it was worth it, but because I knew you needed something to do.
Yes, absolutely.
And it did calm you down. Am I wrong?
It calmed me down. Okay. But, you know, it was something to do.
And we all need to do whatever we have to calm. Yes, I know this is the portion of the podcast where I talk about my baking the last couple of weeks as well. But honestly, I don't think...
Yes, you made a ton of things. Come on.
Not this week. Not the only thing I can recall making this week was I made fettuccine. That's not baking. I made fresh pasta.
Which is amazing, by the way. You made a souffle.
I made a broccoli and Colby cheddar souffle, and it was a real damn souffle. That thing puffed up.
It was good.
Huge.
And you've been making cookies.
I made those vanilla sprinkle cookies. And actually, the reason we've reached the point, we're getting food on Monday. We're getting a major, it's so interesting because it's just the two of us. It's always been the two of us for, you know, 23 years. So I don't shop the way a person, say, who's got four kids in the house would shop, or even two kids in the house. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm not sick. I'm drinking coffee and it dries my throat out. But now I'm being forced, the way things are going, there's so much uncertainty out there. Like, I need to buy a month's worth of food. Like, what's a month's worth of food for us? Right. Because I've never bought that way before.
We want to make sure we have the stuff we need, but at the same time, we don't want to overbuy it. And then, you know, we just don't want
to hoard or anything like that. I want to not have to keep getting food, you want to minimize how many times you're getting food delivered. And in our instance, we are fully urban. Like, it is buses and pedestrians and storefronts right outside our door. There is no quiet side street for us. That we are smack in the middle of it. And that's all closed now, but we do have a bodega, and we've been using that bodega for 20 years. We used to joke and say it was our pantry. Like, we could, no lie, we'd be watching, say, a network TV show, something that was airing, and at a commercial break say, you know what, I want some Ben and Jerry's. Literally go out the front door, down the street, get the Ben and Jerry's, and be back before the commercial break was over. Right. It was like going to our pantry. We went there about 9 days ago, I think. I went there, and it was so unbelievably stressful to me, only because there were like four or five people in there. And it's low ceilings. It's small. It's so. My point being, I don't want to have to go there until this is clear. We're trying to avoid that completely. So even things like milk, like, it's like, what's a month's worth of milk for us? How do I do that? Which you really can't buy a month's worth of milk. My point being, it's changing how I'm baking. Like, for instance, I made that fettuccine the other day because we had pasta sauce, but we didn't have any pasta.
Right.
So, but I had flour and eggs, and I was like, this is so wartime. This is so Depression era. I made those vanilla sprinkle cookies the other day because we were running out of sugar, and they're made with confectioner's sugar, partially with granulated sugar. So I was making decisions based on how much stuff I had left in my pantry. And that's interesting. And I'm a good enough cook and baker that I can make those choices. I can sort of figure things out. But it's got to be hard for people who don't know how to cook. All I got to say. I will put the recipes for both my fettuccine. It's Martha's fettuccine, I believe. And the vanilla sprinkle cookies I'll put on today's podcast post. The vanilla sprinkle cookies I love because I always call them Italian bakery cookies. That's exactly what they taste like. They're like the dry, crunchy cookies. They're perfect with coffee. And I just love them. They're one of my favorite cookies
to
make.
You're a great baker.
Yes. I'm an okay baker.
No, you're good. You're very good. That's it.
That's it. I don't think... Yeah, I mean, this week, honestly, we are fully committed to blogging at the moment and writing at the moment and podcasting. A lot of Lorenzo's week this week was turned over to making this production happen in a seamless way. We had to build a site to host the podcast.
Yeah, we had to do everything from scratch pretty much.
This is all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that, like, when people say, and this came up on the book tour when people would say, how did you handle the writing? And I would say, well, I did all the writing, but then we would have to explain, like, this is so a partnership. It's not even funny. I mean,
we work together.
Yeah.
All the decisions, all the choices are made together. Everything
and the things that Lorenzo does to make all of this happen, I could not do. He supports the entire enterprise.
That's right.
I am just, I've always said this, I'm just a little typing monkey in the front.
Oh, please, no.
But yes, true. He spent all week, he must have spent 25 hours this week.
It just felt like...
on the behind the scenes stuff just to get this podcast out the door seamlessly this week.
Right, because it was like, it felt like starting a new site or something. And in a way it is. I mean, you have to... you know, think of all the things you need to put a podcast together to sound and look, a certain way. And we're very picky about what we do. Anyway, so that's, it's our first. I'm sure we'll get better and better.
We're figuring it out.
Yes.
Now let's yell at some celebrities.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Who
first? Not every morning, but a couple times a week, just out of habit, I will go to the photo wires, which was our daily routine for 10 years now, which we would wake up, get our coffee, and go to the photo wires and pick our subjects for the day. And I don't know why I'm doing it, because I know nothing's happening. It's more like a nostalgia. It's like, oh, look, remember when Meghan Markle went out in that red gown? That's still on the front page. But every day that I go... there's Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas walking arm in arm for the Paps every day. What you do see on these pages right now, it's a little humorous. And part of me, if I was less responsible as a blogger, I would feature some of these people just to make fun of them. But if you go to those photo wires now, it's all these absolute Z-list stars taking advantage of the fact that nobody is out. And they're all parading around in the tackiest outfits in LA, like the Phoebe Prices and all that. And like walking around in a bra and a pair of leggings and a surgery mask in LA in front of the Paps. It's all that kind of silliness. The only A-list star walking out right now is Ben Affleck with his new girlfriend, Ana de Armas. Every single day,
I didn't even know they were together, yeah.
Oh, they've been making sure everybody knows about it. And I know they should, like, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello were out wandering Beverly Hills, I think, the other day. But that was fine. That I don't think they were wandering very far from their house. Ben and Ana are all over L.A. getting their picture taken and making out in front of the Paps and everything.
I know. And I think there are certain parts in L.A. where you can walk and you know, there's not a lot of people. I guess you can keep your distance from people. At least that's how I feel about some of these pictures. But some clearly, I mean, you can tell that they're just there for, you know, to have their picture taken. And it's just funny to see them. And with the mask and all that. And I don't know. It just looks a little weird. And... And then, of course, this week, yesterday or the day before, then we have J-Lo going to the gym.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Then J-Lo and A-Rod go out to the gym together. And we're not buying these pictures. We made the choice not to buy these pictures. I'm not going to call people out for doing it. Other blogs have been running these pictures. And I get it. We're all trying to figure out what our content is going to be in this era. But from the minute the lockdown started happening all across the country, I was like, I don't want to support these people going out and doing this.
Right. And some of that stuff is just irresponsible. Like the J-Lo thing, it's just irresponsible.
It's irresponsible. And you're flaunting your privilege.
Yeah, she was there. Are they married? I don't even know. Are they really married?
I don't think they're married yet. No.
Yeah, well,
no.
Together,
are you kidding? That wedding is going to be front pages everywhere.
Oh my God. What am I saying? Anyway, they went to the gym. And as you know, all the gyms are closed. I know that. Everybody knows that. And there's a big sign as they walk out. There's a big sign saying, you know, gym is closed, go home, stay safe, or whatever. And it just, to me, it feels so irresponsible.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just the wrong thing to do. You're a celebrity, you have a ton of followers, and you're just sending the wrong message. Also, if you look at the pictures, if you go online and search them, you can find them. The bodyguard, I think it's the bodyguard. They're saying he's the owner of the gym. I don't think so. It's the bodyguard. He's like there with them, risking his life.
Yeah, the whole thing is just so wrong.
Holding the door for them and then wiping everything down, wiping the door for them. And I'm like, come on. I mean, you have enough money to buy to buy your own gym. You know, I mean, I'm sure you have one in your basement or in your mansion or whatever. So why do you need to go out and do that? You know you're going to be photographed, and maybe that's the reason why you did it.
Maybe that's the reason, but how could they not know there wasn't going to be a backlash?
I know. It was just bad, and I was really annoyed with it. Anyway, I have, like, my little free weights here, and I'm happy with
it. We literally have not left the house. Like,
I have not left the house.
Yesterday, I finally climbed out on the roof to sit on a lawn chair on the roof and get some sun. And I should mention our roof is looks out over an enclosed courtyard. It does not face the street. There's no one. It's completely, like, it's as safe as I can be to sit outside.
It's a tiny roof, private, just for us.
Right.
It's not for everybody in the building. It's just for us and it has a wall. I mean, it's private. I mean, nobody can see us. But we do get a little bit of sun if we want, and we can just sit there with our laptops.
But we have practiced extreme.
Right.
Lockdown, pretty close to quarantine. Nobody has been in this loft for 3 weeks, and I don't think we've had any face-to-face contact with
We have stuff delivered, but we have a little vestibule where people just leave their stuff there, and then we go.
We're lucky that way.
Yes, and then I don't even talk to them. There's a glass door. And I mean, I talked to them, you know, through the glass door. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not in contact with them. And we bring the package home and we let it sit there for hours before we even open it.
Yeah, we're taking some extreme precautions.
Yes.
And I'm fine with admitting that.
Right. We have nurses, as we mentioned, in the family, and God, you know, bless their heart. They're working very hard right now. They told us, you guys are doing great. You guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing to be safe. We're trying. We're not heroes or superheroes here. We're just doing the best we can.
Yeah, just like everybody is. We're all trying to do the best that we can. I just want to mention that again, I didn't do much baking this week, and part of the reason I didn't do much baking this week is because we got a shipment of Girl Scout cookies.
I know, my God.
The Girl Scouts are selling online now.
Yes, that's how I got them.
So if you want to support them, or if you just want to get a box of cookies in the mail, who doesn't right now? This is not, we're not being paid to say this. I'm just saying, Girl Scout cookies.
Right.
They are the ultimate comfort food. And it meant that I could take a break from baking until we can replenish our baking supplies. You know what else has been lovely, lovely, lovely this week? My Bombas socks. Bombas is sponsoring this portion of the podcast. And if you've been listening to the PSO for any length of time, you've heard us go on and on and on about our Bombas socks. We bought each other Bombas socks for Christmas, and I have been basically wearing them every day since. Bombas makes the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They've literally rethought every little detail of the socks we wear to make them way more comfortable. And I mean it. This time where we are completely nested. We are completely in the house all day. I love pulling them on every day because, first off, they're colorful, fun, happy socks. But they are absolutely the most comfortable. I'm wearing the athletic socks every day. By far the most comfortable athletic socks I have ever worn.
Great support. You mentioned that.
Tremendous arch support. Which, you know, when you're padding around your house all day in house shoes or just in stocking feet, it's good to have a sock that has a little arch support like that so you're not flat-footed all day. I love them. We love them. And I have been wearing them nonstop.
They are the best.
But these socks do more than keep feet cozy. They help give back to the most vulnerable members of our community. Because for every pair of socks you purchase, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. The generosity of Bombas customers has allowed them to donate over 34 million pairs of socks and counting through their nationwide network of 3,000 plus giving partners. And the impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes, a small comfort that's especially important right now. So, give a pair when you buy a pair and get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/TLO. That's BOMBAS.com/TLO for 20% off your first purchase. Bombas.com/TLO. Thank you, Bombas.
I know. Now I'm glad we bought a bunch of them for Christmas.
I know. They have been just my feet savers yes, through this whole thing. Truly. I just love them. Love them, love them, love them. Very, very, very TLO approved. All right, moving on. What is sort of okay, not entirely TLO approved, but sort of TLO approved, is the Tim and Heidi joint.
Oh, yes.
On Amazon, Making the Cut, which is their Project Runway sort of ripoff, whatever. They graduated from Project Runway on to doing this show. And we podcasted about it last week, and we were ambivalent about the show, but it got a good response, the podcast, and
we're going
to
watch it.
We're going to watch. I mean, come on, I don't mean to be like, well, what else are we going to do? Of course we're going to watch it. First off, we would have watched this show even if we hated it, because we're going to sit through just about
it. And I do hate it.
We're just going to sit through every fashion show. I don't hate it, but I did yell at my screen a couple of times this morning. Yes, I was so annoyed with it.
Because it's funny, because we watched the episode separate. I watched it on my computer, and he watched on his computer. And I just heard Tom going like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I think I know what he's watching right now.
In a general sense, it's a perfectly fine and entertaining episode of Project Runway, because that's what I feel like I'm watching half the time. It likes the drama a little too much. It likes the staging. I am not here to watch Tim and Heidi walk through the streets of Paris.
Oh my God, the vignettes?
I fast forward through them completely.
I do the same thing.
I've completely fast forward through them. I think the producers of this show, two of whom are Tim and Heidi, have overestimated how charming the audience might actually think they are. So I don't like that shit at all. I think sometimes they're trying to generate drama in the workroom in a way that I'm like, yeah, I feel like Bravo's Project Runway has moved past that. I feel like Netflix's Next in Fashion doesn't really showcase that. Right. But here we are just with trying to do like personality conflicts and stuff. So I'm not real crazy about that. I Didn't love the judging panel format last week. Why are you smiling?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Am I dominating again?
Am I doing the Penn and Teller thing again?
No, I'm doing You're watching the levels because doing sound technician at the same time.
Go ahead.
You're going to slap me.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, you know, you could join in on the discussion and stop looking at the levels.
Yes,
you know
when you
that.
Stop talking, I will.
Oh, please. Please.
Anyway.
Real quick, I kind of come around on the judging. I find it a little more entertaining than I did last week. First of all, because Naomi Campbell is just, she makes it worthwhile. You don't like it?
I do, but I think
it's very stagey and performative. Well, I get that.
Yes.
But she's so much better at that than Heidi is.
No, yes, yes.
Heidi's words have no weight, and Naomi's do. Like, when Naomi's ripping some designer to shreds, you're like, damn, you better step up your game, designer.
That's the thing. They released two episodes, 3 and 4.
And we're going to run down the runway of each one.
So I was watching episode 3, which was called Collaboration. So they had to design 3 looks, mini collection, and they had to work together in pairs. So I was actually enjoying the whole thing. And then it got to episode 4, and I was like, all right, we're back to this bullshit again.
Yes, what Tim with his, I'm going to give a little speech, and I need to see the fire. And I'm like, what is this nonsense? And then the whole idea that Tim convinced Heidi to do this at the last second. No, no. Oh, but we're also going to produce this look on Amazon. Like, yeah, of course, Tim. This was all last second. We're supposed to believe that.
When Tim said, well, I have an idea, meaning the producer had an idea, and Tom...
This was all completely planned.
And Tim is going to be the one delivering it.
That's the sort of nonsense where it's like, I can't. Do we have to do this? Just say, listen, we're going to shake things up and do a 7-hour... you know, challenge to just really... But this whole, like, oh, Tim, and I'm... Let's consult with Heidi on camera. Heidi in her... couture or whatever the fuck she's wearing. It's so silly.
Right. And I do agree that the results in episode 3 weren't great at all. I mean, they were not great. I was actually...
You mean episode 4? Because that was your life one.
No, the looks the collaboration. In episode... Yeah, I didn't like the looks in general. I thought they...
No, they weren't good.
The tailoring and the fitting was just not right. It wasn't great. So I kind of agreed, all right, you know, episode 4, let's try to do better. But the whole idea was just bullshit. And the whole thing about, oh, I had an idea. Let's create a challenge now so that they can show who they are and what it takes to be a designer, blah, blah, blah. But we're just going to give them 7 hours.
Right.
And no fabric shopping. You have to use whatever you have left. And no seamstresses.
Right.
So...
Well, oh, but it's not a sewing competition.
I know, but you mentioned in episode 1, well, we're going to do things different here because we
believe... They're not doing things differently at all.
Yeah, we believe that you don't have to sew to be a designer, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, episode 4, you're telling them that, no, you have to sew it. And a lot of them don't know how to sew.
No.
So they were like, you know, like Sabah.
That's what I mean about the bullshit. Right. Jumping them through hoops and everything. Like, just get them to sew and put on a runway show. Like, we don't need all this. It feels very 2008. Mm-hmm. It feels like a very old-fashioned approach to, like, I feel like Project Runway has moved past this years ago, but whatever.
Right.
It's entertaining enough that I'll sit through it. I don't mind it. I think the previous season of Project Runway was more entertaining than this one. I do like a lot of these designers, though.
I have to say.
Personality-wise and aesthetically.
Right.
There's a lot about the cast that I like.
I do like the cast. I do like the fact that they're in Paris and they're now going to
Tokyo,
which is fun and nice.
And Johnny is so fucking cute.
Johnny's cute.
Johnny's super cute.
And I wish
very watchable.
I wish they stayed in Paris the whole time. But they're moving on to Tokyo. I guess it's fun. I don't know. Are they going anyplace else besides Tokyo? I don't think so. I think it's just Paris and Tokyo and New York. But it would be great if they went to another country, I guess, or something. Or just stayed in Paris. I absolutely love Paris. Absolutely love Paris. We had the best time. I can't wait to go back. And it's funny because we just got our passports renewed right before this happened, and now we can't travel. But anyway, not complaining, just making an observation. But we do want to go back to Paris because we love Paris. So it's beautiful. I mean, come on. They have all these beautiful shots of Paris. They can, you know, the models are great. You can tell that the models are very professional. Everything about it looks professional. But then you get to the judging part, and it's just, Come on. Some of the comments are just stupid. And Heidi, I don't know. Heidi sounds very dumb.
Right.
And she's not. I mean, she's not. But her comments are just stupid. And I don't know. I just roll my eyes every time the judges say something that it feels and it looks and sounds so scripted. You know, like it's just the whole thing looks very scripted to me. But anyway, so that's it. I'm still watching. Still going to watch it.
Do you want to run down the looks on the runway? Right. Can you see from where you're sitting?
Yeah. So the first, the episode 3 was about them collaborating, and they are right. A lot of designers are getting together now to create a mini collection of some sort. And that's what they tried to do here. And they paired them with...
They paired them off in teams. So right. The first collection is Johnny and Megan, who had a little drama. They were, you know, sniping at each other through the process, but they did one of the best collections, I think.
I
didn't like it?
I just have to make a confession here. I hate stripes. I absolutely hate stripes, but that's a personal thing. I mean, I think the collection looked great.
I think they blended their aesthetics really well. You could see both of them in these looks.
You can see the soft and hard, you know.
Right.
Mix and it looked great. The leather and the zipper pants and all that,
yeah,
and the that white look with the ruffle detail
right
on the sleeves, it looked great. I thought it was one of the strongest mini collections.
Yeah, next up is Juwan and Renat's collection, which I honestly don't even remember this. I mean, I know I watched this, but
it's really bad, I think.
First off, Juwan's activewear, sort of Korean-inspired activewear thing is starting to look very limited to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's got those straps hanging off everything. Nothing fits the body. Everything is very loose. And,
right.
You know, so, yeah, the red draped dress is kind of nice. The activewear they did for the guy is weird. And then the girl's wearing like a romper, which just looks badly fitted to me.
It looked poorly made. They all look poorly made. They don't look like they belong together.
I don't think those two have an aesthetic that right. Like Renat and Juwan, they don't. I don't see Renat in any. I guess she's in the red dress.
Right. I think the red dress is her. But I just didn't like this at all.
I agree.
Disappointed.
Let's see. Up next is Will and Esther. Ooh, dog. This was bad. This was bad. A bad combination.
I don't like...
Will has no taste.
Will has no taste, and you said that from the beginning.
And Esther just can't do anything but McQueen.
Esther can only do one type of look. You know, she's clearly the favorite here. Everyone loves her. I didn't hate it. I
don't think they blend well at all.
I thought it was okay, a little bit of a cliche in terms of the fabric and color combo, but it wasn't bad. It was okay. You could see their point of view, and it was a strong showing, I thought, but not necessarily my favorite.
No. Next up is Josh and Troy.
Oh, my God.
And wow, was this a bad collaboration. I mean, just right from the first look, she's in like a toile jacket, very plain sort of pantsuity jacket, and then this big ballroom skirt. They don't go together at all.
No, I do like when designers combine crazy fabrics together or fabrics that, you know, wouldn't necessarily look good together, but they make it work. I do like that, but not here. This was just
second look is a hideous sequined. I think it's a skirt and then a leopard print halter crop top. It's just the tackiness is so awful.
And the thing is that these two are so different. They are absolutely different. Especially Josh.
I don't think his aesthetic. And then the third one is a pantsuit, I think. A right. jumpsuit. In like a print velvet with a sequin yoke. Awful. All three looks are so unfathomably bad. They should have really sent both of them home.
Yeah, I agree. And he had sort of like a... He seems like a nice guy, Josh.
They both do. Troy seems like a nice guy as well, but...
And he was pretty much saying, you know, I'm going to... It's time for me to go home. He pretty much eliminated himself.
I think... I got the sense, because Josh is the one who went home, I got the sense that Josh just looked at the process and realized, okay, this is a reality show.
Right.
It's not a showcase for my talent. I mean, he has a line. He has, you know.
They all do, you know.
And I think he took a look at it and said, this is not worth, you know, I'm not going to get $1 million and I don't want to hurt my reputation. That's what it felt like to me. It didn't feel like he was petulantly leaving. Anyway, next up is Sabato and what's his
Sander.
Name? Sander. Strange combination, the two of them.
I thought they were adorable together.
They worked together really well.
Sander is fun. I think he's fun and funny. I just like his personality. And he was joking.
Sabato's a real sweetheart. Yes. Sabato was a male model. How about that? He was gorgeous.
Did you see the pictures?
Yeah. No, they actually worked together. Pape and Bebe. they worked together really well. I liked their collection. I wasn't completely in love with it. I think considering how vastly far apart their aesthetics are, it worked better than it should have.
I absolutely loved every single look.
I
loved every single look. I thought they looked together. It's like Naomi said, you didn't even have to explain anything here. You look at that mini collection and you understand everything about it.
Yeah.
It was just perfect. Polished, sophisticated. Just loved everything. At first it looks like it's all black, but then you see it's a very dark.
That's
purple.
True. It's very sophisticated. God, you're right. Of course it didn't win.
No, of course not.
Oh, wait.
Not. Well, it won.
Actually, it did win. It did win. You're right.
But did they produce it? I can't remember now.
Yeah, they did win.
Oh, I know they won, but I don't know if they produced it.
They're producing I think it's the jacket with the big flowy skirt behind it. That'll be on Amazon.
But loved it. Loved it. I thought they worked together, well together. It was just perfect.
Yeah. And then it ended on a cliffhanger with like...
Oh my God, yes.
Naomi saying that she has changed her mind.
I know.
Didn't send Troy home. And I don't even know what their reasoning was for not sending Troy home.
The whole thing makes me laugh. Because it's just like, do you still hate them? Do you still hate them?
It's so mean, girl.
Do you still
girl?
Hate her? Yes, I still hate her.
I don't like that format of it. And I really don't like, why should we... I get asking a designer to defend their work. But when Heidi's basically like, we want to send you home. Tell us why we shouldn't. I'm like...
And then it's just
that's
like,
just nasty.
Have you changed your mind? Do you think you have in your heart? Can you forget her?
Yeah, Naomi changed her mind on Troy, or the producers told her to change her mind. What the hell ever.
And I thought they were very rude to, what's his name? Troy, actually. I thought they were borderline.
His collection
rude.
Was really bad.
I know, but the language used to describe how they didn't like something, I thought it was a little rude. You can focus, yeah. And they go on and on, which is, at this point has become a cliche about the whole thing. You know, fashion industry is very hard. And, you know, you have to work hard. You have to really want this. Of course they all want this.
Right. You're talking to people who actually have stores and have had lines and shows, and they're not students.
Right. And don't you think these people know how hard it is?
Everything's so staged, and they all have to sit there and smile their way through it. And I honestly do feel like Josh was like, you know what? This is not worth... No, I'm just going to leave now.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the show for what it is, and I do still enjoy the fashion and all that.
But they have beautifully produced runway shows.
Yes,
the designers themselves are moderately talented. I mean, there's enough talent there that I haven't minded the runway shows. I don't mind watching Naomi Campbell. There's a lot to recommend, but like I said, it's the Tim and Heidi stuff is surprisingly bad.
God. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Tim really is there to just blow kisses and give hugs and speeches.
And Heidi, I thought on Project Runway. I thought on Project Runway she had more interesting things to say. I don't know. Everything she says sounds very shallow and dumb. I don't know.
It's very America's Got Talent. Like that's
yes.
Where
oh my
she,
God. I think that's what it is.
It changed her.
Oh my God.
It changed
you're
her.
Absolutely right. Yeah. That's what it is.
It changed her as a reality show host. She's much more performative than she used to be. And it's much less about the actual judging as it is about performing as a judge.
And as a formal judge on the show, when you say things like, I'd wear it, it just drives me up the wall.
Well, Nicole keeps saying
because this is not about what you wear or what you'd wear, you know. It's just not. It's just not. And it sounds very pedestrian to me. I mean, you're a judge. You're supposed to know about fashion. That's not the language you should be using. Oh, I would totally wear that. Oh, I wouldn't wear that. What? I don't care. Who cares?
Right.
Anyway, but if I could, I would just skip the whole... I mean, I have to know who won and all that stuff. But if I could, I would just skip the whole judging part.
Yeah. But I would skip all the speeches, and definitely I already skip all the little vignettes.
I do. The vignettes, forget it.
Forget it. That is so, oh my God. And you know what? It's going to get even worse when they're in Tokyo. Konnichiwa! We're going to hear that every 30 seconds out of Heidi's mouth.
Oh my God, don't even say that.
Yeah. It's just going to get so annoying. But anyway, whatever. Do you want to move on to the next episode? Yes. We have another runway to do. This is their prove yourself. You know, what was it called? Fight for your life.
So Tim Gunn / producers had an idea to drive them crazy and make them very stressed out.
Right.
So the idea was that they had to create something in 7 hours, to make it themselves, no help whatsoever. And show how much they want this.
Right.
So anyway.
What the hell ever. all right. So
I have to say the results in general, they were great.
That's the thing. I don't mind the actual challenge. The challenge should have just been, okay, for this week, we're shaking things up. And you can't do this and you can't. But they had to give Tim like the, I can't stand it. I can't. And I know people, I know it annoys people that were so hard on Tim. But, and I still have a lot of fondness for Tim, but I do not like the role that he takes now on these shows. I just don't.
Right. And you have to understand when we criticize Tim or Heidi or all these people, it's the whole thing is produced.
Extremely 90% produced.
Of what comes out of their mouth, it's scripted and they were told to say so. So, you know, when Tim Gunn says things like, I see the grit, the fire, the determination. What? No, I see people running around like crazy and stressed out.
Right, because you made them jump through hoops.
Yes.
Right.
It's just...
It's silliness. It's reality show silliness.
500
Which, you
years
know what?
Later, yes.
We should stop being such bitter bitches about it.
I know.
It's we're all on lockdown. Fucking watch the reality show silliness and
listen,
embrace it.
I just laugh because it's ridiculous to me, but I still watch it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been writing about this stuff for 14 years.
Anyway.
Okay, so we're going to do the runway show in the fourth episode, which was done in the workroom, which I guess they wanted to get the most out of this workroom before they leave Paris. It is a charming space.
It
I
is.
Say
I mean,
that.
I mean,
the production
beautiful.
Values on this show cannot be beat.
Yeah. Well,
that is one of the major arguments for watching it. Right. Is it is pretty to look at, even in the workroom. It's pretty to look at.
You have to remember that these people are like setting up runways, like all over Paris. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, it's Amazon money.
Yeah, it's that stuff's not cheap.
Okay, so first up in the runway is Megan's look, which is this yellow, white, and black. She said it was an updated Fly Girl look, and I actually really love it.
I love it. The color blocking is beautiful. Choices she made.
Yeah, the colors are really sharp.
The colors
sharp.
Are beautiful and elegant. I do agree with Naomi when she talked about the pants, the elastic. You know, I do not like elastic anymore.
But the Fly Girl reference means that she was taking like activewear, 90s activewear,
right,
hip hop wear. So
true.
It makes a little more sense.
Now
I do not understand why they praised Renat's look so much. And I laughed my ass off when Joseph Altizaro talked about, and she talked about how it's workwear. It's about a lawyer in the office wearing a crop top and a skirt, a tulip skirt that is like just coming up to China.
It looks extremely basic except the twist.
It's nice, but it is not workwear. No, who the hell dresses like that for work?
No, it looks very bland, very boring and basic. It's a top and a skirt.
Yeah.
But they went on and on. Again, they went on and on about it because Amazon has to produce. You have to remember that.
Right.
So next... next is, I forget who's next.
G1.
Oh, yes.
G1. And this is when I really hit the wall with G1's aesthetic. I'm like, all right, well, everything's just loose and bathrobe-y. And I get where you're coming from on these references, but you need to do more than this.
Right. I praise her a lot in the beginning, but at this point now, I see that everything looks kind of the same.
It's does.
The same hemline and the same
stitching.
You know, stitching
the
and
sashes
straps
and
all that.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the same very, very casual look, which is fine, but when everything looks the same, you're like, all right.
Okay, so
else?
We haven't talked about this, but here's Johnny's look, and I gasped. I think this is gorgeous.
Listen, you just heard me say that I can't stand stripes, but again, it's not about me. This is stunning.
This is first off, so gorgeous. Ridiculously on trend, so runway ready, so right now. And it's so finely made. It's so, the way he used the stripe, I think he realized that he couldn't line up the stripes, so he made sure to make it look more deliberate than
I
it was.
I also love the placement, the where he placed the stripes, where they go, the way they go.
The shape of the sleeves is just brilliant. And we don't like our red carpet commentary, we don't love all these vampire's wife dresses that are out there, all these... And this is very much in that mode, but it's so chic. He tamps down on it's not all ruffled or prairie-like.
Right.
His reference for Beetlejuice was dead on, because there's a little bit of gothiness to it.
And I agree with the judges that it has that softness and hardness, you know, that combine. Love it.
It's the really, neckline, really
he
gorgeous.
He placed the stripes around the neckline and the sleeves. Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous look.
I'm glad you agree with me on that. Because
he won, of course.
There are reasons to watch this show. And one of the reasons are, you know, the fashion sometimes isn't that bad. There's some good looks, you know.
Right, I agree.
And there's only a few disasters. Like, so far, there have only been a few disasters.
Right.
Waiting for the next look to come out. We're watching the video. This is Sabato's dress, which Heidi said she didn't like it, but Naomi loved it.
I love the design, but you can tell that it's not well made because he doesn't know how to sew.
Right.
But it's simple and elegant.
It is elegant. He does have to move out of this sort of drapey Italian elegance box.
It just looks beautiful on the model.
He is
very simple.
He's a very elegant man, and even when he can't produce fine work, that elegance comes across in his work. So
I agree.
Next up is Troy.
Oh, man, yeah.
Wow. I mean, he really thought he did something here, and I was like, I just got finished saying there are no disasters on this show, but this is a disaster.
Yeah, I felt bad for him because I really wanted him to stay.
So did I. I really like him. But, I like his story, but he seems delusional about what he made here.
No, and if you're making a, head-to-toe black look, you know, you really have to make sure that there's some design elements there that, you know, you can actually see some design. Otherwise, it's just this whole blackness. It's just a dress and a jacket, and it's all black. You can't really see anything.
The previous episode's collection with Sander and Sabato, the way they used black.
Right.
That there's a very sophisticated way to use black, and I don't see this with his look. Like, these are not great fabric choices. The blacks aren't very rich. I know he was picking up what was left in the room, but I don't think his fabric choices were good. I don't think his technique was good. The look, like the design is just...
And then Naomi...
She looks like a depressed person.
Right. And Naomi asked her to remove the jacket, and then, you know, underneath there's just nothing. There's just a very, very, very basic dress.
Okay, here's Sander. He's so Belgian in his design.
Oh my God,
he's so
Sander.
Belgian. I loved this look, but the second it walked out, I was like, they ain't producing that. There is no way Amazon's producing that. That's like them doing an Iris Van Herpen dress or something.
This, of course, it wasn't going to be produced, and it was made in 7 hours. Remember that. But imagine this.
It's painted, and it's kind of hard to describe.
Well made, taking your time.
Yeah.
It would look incredible.
Yeah, that kid's got an eye.
It's not for everybody, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's a great, great design.
Yeah. He's definitely got that like Dries Van Noten, Iris Van Herpen thing going on.
Yes,
just
he does.
Very
he
much
does.
So.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
You can see where his inspirations are coming from. Ooh, and next up is Will.
Oh my God, Will. And you're right. I feel so bad.
I do too. He's a sweet guy.
And he told us about his story and all that, where he came from. You know, you just want to root for him, but there's not much there. The taste
This is such
level.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Off the rack, like discount retail. It is so bad. It's just, I mean, putting aside that it's not well made, okay, you had to do it in 7 hours. The very design itself is as stale as it gets. Like, I mean, discount retail, not nice stores.
I mean, if you can think of something very, very basic and tacky together, like very basic sequin pants.
Sequined.
And then this satin top.
No.
One shoulder top with...
it's just bad instincts.
Yeah, with this train going on
in
the back.
No.
It's just... Yeah, no. It just doesn't work.
And then the next up is Esther. I got to give it to this girl.
Listen,
that is a stunning dress. That is stunning.
I was ready to hate her because I just hate her look. I mean, because I just don't like her. Don't like her attitude, blah, blah, blah. But
she seems nice enough.
This is gorgeous.
This is what I mean about knowing it's how to wear, how to use black.
Oh my God, the pleating, the, all the
it's
details.
It's like pin tucking at the waist and everything.
Oh my God.
The shape. I don't know how she did this in 7 hours.
Because it's probably something she's designed a million times.
Even so, that's a lot of work.
It's in her store right now. Which is, I'm not, you know, it's to her design. And that's what you should do. If you only have 7 hours, you should do something.
I'm glad Johnny's won over this, though. Uh-huh. This was very close to a winning look.
Right, right.
But I'm glad Johnny's, well, first off, Johnny's is, they'll be able to produce
right.
it.
But this is stunning. It's like a finished product.
Yeah, I mean, she's gorgeous. No joke. I do think she got overpraised a bit in the first two episodes, but she's clearly a contender. She's clearly one of the ones
that
should make it to the end.
I think she's going to win the whole thing.
The details on it are just gorgeous. And that's it. Is that the entire thing?
Yeah. Anyway.
Johnny won, and they sent Troy home. Right?
Which, yeah, I feel bad about it.
I did, too. Troy.
He seemed sweet, and he told us his story about, you know, I always love the stories because, you know, everyone has a story. Everyone has a struggle.
Right, right.
You know, they're, you know, a dream and so on. So I do appreciate that. But unfortunately, it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just the pressure. It's the, you know, the environment. You just can't create the way you create at home or any other place. And I think that's the thing with the shows.
I have to say that for all our bitching about the format of the show and the judging of the show and the people on the show, I haven't really felt that the judges' decisions were out of line. Like, for the most part, they're sending the right people home.
Uh-huh.
And even if I didn't agree with every one of Esther's wins, like in the beginning, she is obviously really talented. Johnny was the obvious choice this week.
Right.
Who won last week? Oh, Sabato and Sander. Right. So yeah, I don't think the judging decisions are all that bad.
Right.
There's just a lot of performance.
Right. I would change two things. Well, actually three things. I get rid of the vignettes. They're like make me
Not because they're the producers. So
they're horrible.
They're awful.
And the judging, the way they judge the designers, I just don't like the language. I don't like the whole, do you still hate her or hate him? I just don't.
The
like
whole, have you changed your mind?
Have you changed your mind? Oh God, I can't stand all any of that. And the fact that they have to produce the stuff for Amazon, and that just right there is like creativity out the window.
Just
doesn't work for me, and I can't stand that. But anyway, but it's beautiful to look at there in Paris, and I'm sure it's going to look gorgeous in Tokyo as well. So
yeah, we're looking forward to it. And so we will be back next week to do a little bit more making the cut, and we'll pick up more topics as we go. I mean, pop culture's a little bit at a standstill, but not totally. There's still shows coming out, and that seems to be where we're transitioning all our attention right now is towards television blogging and a little bit of movie blogging and some costume design blogging.
So thank you for your patience. We're still working on making everything work, you know, perfectly in terms of our podcast. And we are making sure, and it might take a few weeks or, you know, a few days to make sure that you have our podcast on every platform, major platform out there. We're working on all that. So please be patient. And we appreciate
all your support.
And yes, very, very much.
So be safe out there this week. Be kind to yourselves. Give yourselves room to fuck up and make mistakes. We both had a hilarious episode just before we flipped on the mics because we ordered cat treats from Amazon because our cats will go crazy if they don't get their cat treats. And they were supposed to come yesterday. And then we got a message from Alexa that they did come. But where was this package? And then Lorenzo was on the phone with Amazon this morning, like trying to find the package. And
you can't call them anymore, by the way.
And I'm standing in our kitchen making coffee, and I happen to look over at our china cabinet in our dining room, and there on top of our china cabinet is a box from Amazon. And I vaguely remember, I'm like, didn't he bring that in yesterday and say, oh, these are the cat treats, I'll put them aside? And so I called him in, and you should have seen the look on Lorenzo's face.
Like, oh my God.
We both just completely blanked.
Yes.
And I think you were started to get a little embarrassed. And I was like, Lorenzo, you are fine making a silly mistake like that in this atmosphere. We're just trying to hold it together.
Yeah, because what we do, as I mentioned, we bring the package in
And put it aside so we don't touch it.
So we don't touch it and wait.
And then we completely forgot about it. And he's yelling at it. You didn't actually yell at someone on Amazon because you didn't get anybody.
Well, first of all, you can't, when you call them, you get a message, you don't get a person anymore. But there's no, I mean, I was just trying to find a way online on the site to
tell
them.
Oh, and this was, by the way, this was ordered before Amazon went on strike.
Yes,
we did not order anything since the workers went on strike.
We're trying to be very, very, very... you know, conscious here of what's, you know, and making sure that we only order things we need, because, you know, there are more important things out there that need to be delivered.
That is correct. So that's what our point is, just give yourself some room to freak out and fuck up, because we're all just trying to figure everything out and muddle through. So take care of yourselves. We love you. We love your support.
Love you.
If you need something soothing, please buy Legendary Children. You can listen to us read it for 8 full hours in our lovely cartoon voices. Until then, we'll see you next week. Love you, mean it. Bye-bye.